Nobody, huh? Oh, it's everybody.
I think Valerie is finished. Mm-hmm. Because I don't get it. Let's just see what it says. Sorry. Not connected. Couldn't. It's got no battery left. Do you want to go down? Do you want to go down?
It's
just too heavy for the carry.
Oh, do you want that? Let's get in the doctor.
What time did we put it on? At least an hour ago. It's pretty good. There were lots of flies on the corner over there near the door. No. Probably hasn't finished yet. Maybe you didn't go in there yet.
Well, it's more than we think.
Yeah, exactly. You can't really tell unless you're watching it all the time. And then you don't really understand what Cleveland is. Let me show you, by the way, how it empties the thing. Might be a good idea to empty it. Oh, hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Look. Press that. And that's this.
Okay, Tov, everybody, morning. Okay. Fine. So I don't know what we don't even remember doing here anymore. We were going to start Perek Dalet, I think. Yesterday we discussed the question of why is it that Hashem couldn't have created the world in such a way that we could get for nothing and not be disturbed by that. In other words, we would get the same pleasure and enjoyment from getting something, not having earned it, that we would from having earned it. And as we explained, the problem with that is if you would do that, then you would be very far from Hashem. In order to get the reward that Hashem wants to give us, which is the ultimate good, which is to be dovuk to Him, we need to be similar to Him. We need to be alike Him. If all we would do is receive without having made any effort, and that wouldn't bother us, then you couldn't be further away from Hashem than that. So that's the beginnings of that understanding. So hopefully we can, as we go forward, we'll take some of that with us. But that's really the sugya of Tzelem Elokim, which is much more, he discusses in much more depth in the marriage sefer. There he discusses the whole sort of marriage. There's to be Megala one, Tzelem Elokim, that unbelievable ability that we have to give unconditionally. So we're touching on some of those ideas now. Ava Sheinu Tola B'Dova, Simcha Sheinu Tola B'Dova, but that touches on that ability to give unconditionally. Okay, so that's some of the background, yeah? I just want to mention, we're not going public on this, we're not advertising this, but from Sunday, Bezrat Hashem, the Beis Midrash is available to us again. So Bezrat Hashem, I'm going to be giving this shiur from Esh Kodesh. So anybody wants to join us, please do. Don't make a big noise about it. We're still not exactly sure what the laws or whatever. It seems apparently you're allowed to have 10 people inside as long as they don't talk to God until Sunday. From Sunday, apparently, you can already start talking to God again. I don't exactly know how that all works. You're not allowed to daven inside, but you can have 10 people inside. So if you're talking to God, then you're davening, I think. And then maybe that's, you're not allowed to do that. I don't know. Nobody really knows what's going on. Meantime, Bezrat Hashem, this Vard, my Gemara Shirim, and Rav Ulitzki's Gemara Shirim, Bezrat Hashem will be back in the Beis Midrash. Obviously, carrying on whatever modality, Zooms, phones, we're carrying on now, so that we don't, people who don't want to come in and can't come in, don't use that. Bezrat Hashem, we don't want anybody to go away. But so Metz Hashem, that'll be happening. Tomorrow's, for the Friday morning Vard, obviously, is not in Eish Kodesh, and the Monday night, Chivas HaLavavos Vard, is not in Eish Kodesh. And we have to speak about what we're doing Motzei Shabbos. There was a bit of a request for a shiur on a Motzei Shabbos. Anyway, let's do this, think about it, and maybe you guys can let me know if they're interested, if they want to do something on Motzei Shabbos. Fine. Shabbos comes out very early in Eretz Yisrael now, so we have a long Motzei Shabbos. So a couple of guys asked if we could maybe do something. So let's see. Okay. Perek Dalet. Move Midrash Shir Hashirim Rabba, that's Daf Nuntes, if anyone's interested. In the Midrash and Shir Hashim, it says like this, Melech Osu Berihitim. Let's see what that means. Zem Melech Malchem Malochim Diksiv Bei Hashem Moloch Geus Lovesh. Hashem rules, he is clothed in Geus, in pride, glory, whatever you want to translate it. Osu Berihitim, what does that mean? She Asu Atzmo, he bound himself, Loshon Osuya, meaning to be bound. B'shvua, Rehitim is a Loshon of Shvua, Shvua Mesharesh Chinos B'Terech Yisrael. He bound himself with an oath that he will continue to ensure that the Shechina dwells in Klal Yisrael. Chazal lo imrim shakorosh bochu, aseh v'kashes atzmo aleinu kiviyochol b'havuzes ava. Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bound himself. Kasheh v'asu, he tied himself, bound himself, knotted himself to us, kiviyochol, with thick ropes of love. V'nei b'agdoros ha-kesher v'yachas b'nei yudi l'boire, mitzinu kam m'sholim haim b'l'shoynes ha-psukim v'haim b'loshen chazal. In this relationship that we have, the Klal Yisrael and each individual Jew has with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, we see a whole range of different m'sholim in the loshen of Torah Shebiksav and the loshen of Torah Shebal Peh. Loshon of the Torah, the Psukim, and the Loshon of Chazal. Nitein loyme, kishtei tzuras akesha akriyois haim. You can say that the two main expressions of relationship, mosholim, of relationship that Hashem describes his relationship with us, is number one, boni matem l'Hashem elokeichem. Boni matem l'Hashem elokeichem. You are Hashem's children. Hashem says, you are children unto me. Each yid is a child, we'll see, an only child of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the King of Kings. Like an excellent good father, has mercy and love and caring for his son. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of us with enormous rachum, his merachem. Kufi shenema, v'yadata im levavecha ki kashe yisa ishes b'noi, Hashem Elokechem Yisarcho. And you shall know in your mind, the deepest recesses of your mind, which is called Lev, ki kashe yisa ishes b'noi, that as a man chastises his son, a father who loves his son, disciplines him and creates boundaries for him and provides him with chastisement. So too Hashem chastises you. That means Hashem doesn't chastise a stum. He does it like a loving, caring father. That's the Pasuk in Dvarim. That's Chumash. That's what Hashem tells us in Torah Moshe. That just like a father cares for and takes care of his son, ad kadai, even the punishments he's giving him. Yeah, for sure, when he's doing good things and kind things and loving things, okay, that's obvious. But even when he's doing what looks to the child to not be such a nice thing, you must know it's a loving father doing it. Hashem deals with us the same way. Hashem deals with us the same way. Yachad im Zois, Mukhnei HaKesher Shel Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiriyosi. There's another dimension to the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's called Reyosi, spouse, wife. Sefer Shir HaShirim Kulu Nichtav K'moshul Oides Inyan Gavur Ram V'Nisoze. This extremely transcendent, elevated idea, this concept that we are somehow Reyosi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the subject of the whole of Shir HaShirim. That's Shir HaShirim. It's a very deep description of the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a spouse. Since this is a very delicate subject, you can go very, very wrong here. As we know, people have gone very well. If you don't understand the language of the Torah and you try to understand Shir HaShirim, you're in a lot of trouble. You're in big, big trouble. The subject is sensitive. It's ma'od. You need a lot of discretion and sophistication to understand Shir HaShirim, besides everything else you need. He says, we'll try and explain it to the best of ability. And there's Al Sefer, one of the Sforim in Pirkei Machshava in the series, is he has a pirush on Shir HaShirim. So, he's going to take some of those aspects and bring them down, yeah? So we're going to look at these two relationships, the relationship of Bonim Hashem Tev Hashem Lokecha v'Riyosi. Fine. First thing you need to know, and that's fairly obvious, is Kaim Chilu Gadol Ben Kesher Shel Av Lebnoi Ben Kesher LaAdam LeRiyosi. There's a major difference between the relationship that a man has with his wife and a man has with his son. Those two relationships are fundamentally different. Michad HaKesher Shel Av LeBnoi Hu Kesher Bli Yenatek. First of all, the relationship that a father has with his son, he can never end that. There's no such thing as him not being your son or you not being his father. There's no Masechtas Gittin here. Zor kaimas metzia shebo av yafsik liyoy ta'av shel bnoi. You never stop being his father. You can throw him out the house. You can send him to the other side of the world. You can deny ownership. You do what you are, but he's still your son. There's no way to break that kesha. Engam metzia shebo ben yafsik liyoy bnoi shel aviv. The son also can never stop being the son of the father, no matter what he does. No matter how far away he goes, he can never break that bond. There's no gittin in father-son relationships. This relationship you never chose. You don't choose your children and you don't choose your parents. That's forced upon you, whichever way you want to look at that. We don't choose. It's forced on you. So you're forced into a relationship that you can never end. That's the parent-child relationship. Yep. Whether your son is a tzaddik, he's a tipesh, he's a rosh, he's a chochem. Lo mishaneh, he's your son. This is your father, and you stuck with it, and you never chose it, and zeo nigma. Hopefully, that the relationship between a father, a husband, and a wife, hopefully, is created with some kind of bechira. I struggle to think where today you see any bechira, real bechira, in anybody getting married. But theoretically, it's supposed to be done with bechira. Habal boicha b'riyosta b'das u'b'hakorim elo. Wow, don't know where he's living. The husband chooses the wife with das, with akora mole, with total recognition, alavai. We yodeo umaki es chesreinoseyo maloseya. He knows and recognizes her milas and chesreinus. Uma'achev u'bochobo, after he chose her, husove v'kibel es maloseya v'chesreina kachos. He gets the milas and the chesreinus, the pros and the cons, and he's prepared to pay with the cons because of the minors that he's going to get, but he's fully aware of the pros and the cons. He knows there's not a perfect deal. There's not perfect people in the world. She knows there's not perfect men in the world. So you make a decision. These are the minors, the chesreinus, and you choose to live with the chesreinus because the minors make it worthwhile. Okay. All right, there's not a marriage here, but I'd love to see the marriage that actually happens in the way it's supposed to today. Whatever, let's not talk about Shiduchim. This relationship, unlike the father-son relationship, can be broken. Enu vadai b'kol tnai b'kol matzav. The ongoing relationship is not guaranteed in every situation because there's a masechtas gittin. So you see, there's two major differences. The father-son relationship, you don't choose, but you can't end it. The husband-wife relationship, you choose it, and you can end it. Our relationship with Hashem has both these aspects. He binds us with ropes, double over strength of ropes. We are Hashem's sons in every situation. He can't get rid of us. We are called Bonim, even though we may not be doing the Rotzen Hashem. We could be the worst possible son in the world, but we're still called Bonim. The Rashba in Chuvas there on Paskin Zet. The Ein Lanu of Shulut and Atek Mikesha Azeh. A Jew, even though he sins, he's still a Jew. He's a Ben Yisrael. There's no way to break that kesha. There are one or two ways, but that's not relevant here, so let's not go into that. Even today, it's not so posh whether that's relevant. Anyway, I don't want to go into that, but you're going to have to work very, very, very hard to become a Zak Zog Rosha, that you'll break the kesha. There's a Mod Kasher Larvin that if Menashe Ben Chizkiyahu Melech couldn't do that, and he was the paradigm of Rishus, of a Jewish king. He killed his own grandfather, Yishai Novi. God killed his own grandfather, you know, he happens to be Yishai Novi, you know, I mean, and much worse than, and as he proved, you can't break the kesher there. Hashem still loves him unconditionally as a kesher lavin. He didn't even have a chayr Lam Haba, according to a lot of shittas, but that doesn't break the kesher. I mean, so then you're going to have to get up very early in the morning to be worse than Menashe. So fine. So you can't break that relationship. Yisrael afol pishechoyti Yisraelu. Mod chashuv. Very important. Your sword. We'll see. This touches on what we said earlier, that the relationship between Anas and Hashem is not connected. Sorry, it's not based on the performance, because we see that the life of a vegetable in a coma collected to machines is also gam kol kach chashuv to Hashem, that it outweighs all the mitzvahs and Torah that anybody's ever going to keep. Not just anybody. Everybody's ever going to keep. All the Shabbosim that Klal Yisrael will ever keep from the beginning till the end are all just thrown out the window to keep a vegetable alive for one more minute, even though he's not doing anything. So you see this being emphasized again, that the relationship that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is lo tolu on our performance. Okay? You see that theme running through the idea here again. So that's the relationship we have with Hashem in terms of being a father-son relationship. This relationship wasn't forced upon you. At Asina, Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed himself to us in all his glory and revealed to us all the Torah. He chose us to be his spouse. In all our minors and chesroinus, he took us at our lowest. Hashem chose us to be his spouse, kaviyochol, when we were on Memtet Shari Tuma. We kind of Mitzrayim, we'll discuss that at length later. He took us out of Mitzrayim at the worst possible matzav. He can't turn on afterwards and say, had I known what such, you know, if I knew you were such a low life, I wouldn't have married you, mekachtos. No, because you took him out when he was mamash Memtet Shari Tuma. You don't get worse than that. So you knew what you were marrying. Hashem didn't marry Klal Yisrael when Klal Yisrael were in, you know, Yerushalayim with the Beis Hamikdash and Shlomo Melech, and they were this glorious nation. Hashem comes along and says, will you marry me? No, he comes into Mitzrayim with Memtet Shari Tuma and he says, will you marry me? So afterwards he's going to turn around and say, hey, I knew what a shlemta you were, I wouldn't have married you. You knew, because that's when you married her. So, Bachabon Elios L'Reyo, Ima Lo Senim Em Chesreinu, who chose us of all our pros and cons, V'gam Anu Bachanu Boi, B'yedir V'akora Brura, K'mo She'anu Oimrim B'tfilo, Malchus Of Rotson Kiblu Aleihem. We chose this relationship. We said, Na'aseh V'nishna, we could have said what's written in it and walked away, as the other nations did. Hashem didn't force the Torah on anybody. Once we said Na'aseh V'nishma, then he was Koyfen Olav HaKagigis. But until we said Na'aseh V'nishma, there was no Koyfen Olav HaKagigis. When Esav said, what's written in the Torah? Hashem told him, and Esav said, no, sorry, that's not for me. Hashem didn't Koyfen Olav HaKagigis and say, either you take the Torah, you're going to die. Yeah? Klal Yisrael, Hashem says, either you take the Torah or you're going to die. Yeah, but that was after they said, Naaseh V'Nishma. Okay, so I'm saying that needs to be understood. Hakagigas, that's not a subject now, but I'm just showing that Hashem never forced us to take the Torah. And anyway, even if he did, by Purim, we were Kimu V'Kiblu, Masha Kiblu B'Sinai, we came back and we or according to some shittas, the Gemara in Shabbos says we weren't even punished for infringements of Torah Shabbat Peh until Purim. Because of Hakagigas. And by Purim, we accepted it back free willingly. We took the Torah. So either way, you cut the cake. We chose it. And as it says in the Pasuk, in the Tefillah, sorry, the Rosh Hashanah de Umalchusoy Barotson Kiblu Alem. Hashem's kingship, we voluntarily took. That's what's called Malchus and not Moishel. But the Goyim, Hashem's a Moishel. He forces his rulership on them. But clearly, so he doesn't. He's called a Melech. A Melech, you choose a Melech. That's an ongoing avoider. That's not something that we did once and we finished with now. This is something you have to do all the time. You have to willingly makabel Hashem's rotson, a rulership over us. Okay. Now what we're going to do in Perek Hay and Perek, I think Vav, I think he splits it into two long prokim. Yeah. We're going to look at the relationship, first of all, the father-son relationship. And see how that plays out, and then afterwards we'll look at the spousal relationship and see how that plays out. Good. If that's clear, then we can carry on. If it's not, then stop me now before we go weiter. No point in not having this clear if we're going to be going further into the sugya. We need to have clarity now. Good. Okay. Fine. Perek Hey Bonim Atem Chavim Yisrael Shenikra Bonim Lamakom. Shnei Shinu Chachomim Masechtas Avos Perek Gimel. Famous Mishnah in Perek Avos in the third Perek Choviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. Adam is very Choviv. However, you want to translate Choviv? Somebody have a decent English word for Choviv? Precious, beloved, whatever. I don't know how to translate it. Choviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. Chibe Yaseir Noidat Loi Shenivra Betzelem. There's an added aspect of Chibe, of this love, whatever. An added aspect of it that Hashem notifies us that we Nivra Betzelem. What does that mean? Shenemar Ki Betzelem Elokim Ose Esa Adam. Because Hashem told us in the Pasuk that He made us, Betzelem Elokim. Continues the Mishnah, Chaviv Yisrael Shenikra Bonim Lamakom. We Chaviv, Klal Yisrael is Chaviv to Hashem because we called Bonim Lamakom. We called the sons of Makom, whatever that name of Hashem means, Moedek. In all the Goyish gods and pantheons of all the multitude of many, many gods they have, you'll never find a god called the place, Makom. Our God's called the place, Makom. Understand what that means, but not now. Chibi Yaseiru, Noidat Lehem, Shenikru Bonim Lamakom. There's this added love. It's not enough that he loves us and then that we called sons. No, there's an added aspect that he tells us that's who we are. Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. Okay? So first of all, he tells us that we Betzelem Elokim. Not enough that we feel his chavivus, unbelievable chavivus, that we are created Betzelem Elokim with all the ramifications, and also that we bond him to Hashem with all the ramifications. Nobody tells us. No doubt, he notifies us. What's the extra chavivus that he notifies us? Harambam, in Perek Dalet, over there, Mepharishes Kavodas HaMishne, Shechibi Yaseir, Hi Mashudel Anakosh Bochru, Shanachnu Bonov. The Rambam explains, what is this additional chavivus that Hashem notifies us? He tells us that we bond him. Hoidua zu mevia otanu la'ain b'malchus ha'kesha v'ha'chaviv v'ha'chiba shol bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. What this does, the Rambam says, is it causes you, when Hashem notifies you, bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, it causes you to go and be ma'ayan, to go deeply analyze and investigate what the essence of this relationship is and what this chibbe is. This unbelievable, can somebody tell me what the word chibbe is in English? Bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem. We want to know what's the unbelievable qualities that we have over everything else in the world. We're going like the Rambam, who holds that the Goyim are created by Tzelem Elokim, not like the Ramban we saw earlier, who seems to hold not like that. He holds that only Yisrael Oved Hashem is B'Tzelem Elokim. We'll have to see what this means. The Machlokes is not as big as it sounds. It can't be because, whatever. There's a whole bunch of reasons why it's impossible that there's anything in the world that doesn't have some Tzelem Elokim in it. But okay, I'm not going into the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban now. But he's going, this is, he's quoting the Rambam. So the Rambam says that we're created B'Tzelem Elokim. And the whole world is created B'Tzelem Elokim. So what's this additional Chavivus that we have? So when Hashem tells you, you now go and be ma'ayin, you go look and investigate and search and try and understand what is it that you have that makes you more choviv than everything else that was created by Tzelem Elokim. Because you were created by Tzelem Elokim and he was created by Tzelem Elokim. So then you don't have any major milers. No, no, you have a big miler. You know what it is? You body matem l'Hashem Elokeichem. Oh, wow, what does that mean? So Hashem tells you, body Hashem l'Hashem Elokeichem. So you'll go and you'll be mine. You'll go learn. You'll understand what that means. You'll learn it deeply, the Rambam says. When Echilu Godol Kaim, when Yachas Shemanik Melech Lavodov, L'Sinosov L'Ezrachei Arzoi, L'Ben Yachas Shemanik Av L'Bnoi. It's, for states, it's understood that the there's a major, major difference between the relationship of the king, how he takes care of his servants and the rest of the citizens of his nation, to the relationship that a father has to his son. The relationship that exists between a king and his servants is kovod v'memshala. He's the king and they're the avodim. Person has to be very, very careful. The Eved, when he's in the king, you've got to be more careful. There's whole big books written before you meet the king. You got to know how to behave, how to walk, what to say, when to say, don't move your head, walk out back, could stand, bow, tuck. There's a whole Ginnun Malchus, there's a ganze, the whole ethics and whatever of how people, when they're around the king, have to behave. And the different servants and the different workers and whatever have all different yachasim relationships with the king, and the slightest infringements off with your head. There's a machayv misa. If you say hello to the melech when you shouldn't have, or you don't say hello to the melech when you should have, boom, that's it. Or askar shmoy shelo b'kol ha-kovod ha-roi mecheves misa. You say hello to him without the proper kovod and without the proper body language and a whole bunch of things. It's a ganze science to know how to be around the king. It's a poshut. Kovod ha-melech mecheves misa chus miyuchedes b'minu v'daktuk rav. Understood? Understood? Enormous, enormous covered around the king, because otherwise the whole musak of Malchus goes away, and the whole musak of Malchus goes away, which is the marshal for the whole musak of Malchus of Hashem, then the whole Bria falls apart. There's a lovely, lovely Maisa. You have to have understood a little bit of Rav Hutner was to appreciate the story. Otherwise, you're gonna go, Balgaiva, Chas v'Chalila. Rav Hutner was the most humble, down to earth, going giant in the world. I mean, but he was completely the biggest on off. Anyway, Rav Hutner had an interesting minag in his office. He had an electric door. In those days, a more miyuchad. Today, it's not so miyuchad, but he had a button under his desk, and the door opened and closed with his button. When somebody would come to see him in his office, whatever, if he didn't walk out backwards, if he turned around, turned his back to Rav Hutner and walked out, he would find the door locked and it wouldn't open. You have to come back and turn around and walk out backwards. You know, like you walk away from the kosel, you back up. Then he would open the door for you. There, people knew that was Rav Hutner. So that's a bit strange, no? That's the Rosh Hashiva, one of the Gedoli Yisrael. Moshe Shapiro Zatzal's Rebbe. You know, we're talking about someone who was unbelievable, the Pachad Yitzchak. I mean, just beyond unbelievable godless. So it's a bit of strange behavior, no? Nirak Tzat Peti. So somebody once raised up the courage to ask Rav Hutner, Maze, what's this about? You worried about your COVID? You worried about whatever? So Rav Hutner said, let me tell you. In Noach's Teva, there was a lion. Yeah? And Noach was very busy. Noach wasn't on holiday. He wasn't on some kind of a luxury cruise. He never slept for the entire time they were on the Teva. you try and feed all the animals in the world, you know, and each one has a different food and they eat at a different time and they have different needs and cleaning. And I mean, it's impossible to imagine what he was going through. And he comes a few moments late to give the lion food and the lion whacks him. Yeah, the lion gives him a mamash, a clap. Yeah, that's Torah. So Rav Hutna, I don't understand. Hashem couldn't have been a little bit more forgiving of Noach. You know what I'm saying? After all he went through, the Mesiras Nefesh and the unbelievable pressure and that he was working under, whatever. So it came a few moments later to feed the lion. My big deal that he gets such a patch. The witness said, you know what happened there? Who did he come late to feed? The lion. Who's the lion? The lion's the king of the animal kingdom. This is the last lion. This is the last lion in the world. If there's a Pagam in his covert, then there's a Pagam in Malchus in the entire Bria. The lion's the king of the jungle. You can't have a Pagam in covert. This is the last king. This is the last lion. So if there's a minute Pagam in his covert, that has to be corrected straight away. The lion gave Noach a patch. People know now, don't mess with kingship. Said Rav Huna, I'm the last lion in America. After me, there won't be any covert left in America. There won't be covert at all in America. If there's a pagam in my covered, my Talmidim, when I had a pass covered onto their Talmidim, there'll be no more covered left in America. And it was poshut prophetic. And you look at the relationship between, you see what's going on. I mean, I don't have to, Rachmana Litzlan, what's going on. So that was, that's the chashivas of Malchus. It wasn't about him. Rav Hutna had no space in himself for personal covered. There wasn't a millimeter of personal covered for him. But he understood. He represents Kavod HaTorah in America today. And if there's a Pagam in Kavod HaTorah, the smallest Pagam in the last lion, so then there's no more Kavod anymore. And that's a Chuban. You can't afford that, not in the jungle and not in the yeshiva. So that's the importance of the enormous Dikduk and the enormous Yachas that has to exist between the king and the Avodov. So I finished last paragraph, so I went over time. The king-servant relationship is only existing as long as the servant is serving the interests of the kingship. If this servant becomes incapable, unable, he's sick or whatever, he can't serve the king anymore, so the king gets another evidence, this guy goes away. Now he's not the servant of the king anymore, he can't come see the king. What do you mean? I was his faithful servant. Yeah, but you're not anymore. Cheers. Zu yachas shel yira. That's the relationship based on yira. Ganema melech shemoichel as koida enu kvoide moichel. A melech wants to be moichel and he's covered. He can't because it's not his covered. It's the covered of the malchus, and he has no sheiches to the malchus. Malchus is not his possession to distribute and allocate how he wants it. The malchus is something greater than the king. That's why the keter is on the head, is above. It's outside the king. It's outside the system, because keter malchus is not the king. It's the thing called malchus. There's no viturim, there's no room for area. That's exacting and it's medaktik and it's life threatening if you get it wrong. That's the okay, fine. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow, next week, we'll start looking at how that's different for the sun. I don't know if you remember, Jonathan, you might remember there was an Avram, but in your days, there was a Ger Tzedek from South Africa whose father was a king. He was one of these tribal kings. He wasn't like a king, big king, but he was an African king. And he told stories about what it was like being the son of a king. Even the son of the king, there were certain limitations that he had with his relationship with his father. He didn't just blonde in there and, do whatever you want like our kids do. Because at the end of the day, his father was a king. So that's Avinu Malkeinu, how we have to live with those two dynamics. Anyway, Metz Hashem, tomorrow we're going for 9:45 still, or we can start at 9:30. Is there any way we can start tomorrow at 9:30? It would help me a lot.
I'm okay for 9:30.
That works for everybody. Baruch, you okay?
Fine by me.
Is there anybody that can't? Speak now or forever hold your pieces.
9:30 is good for me as well, Rebbe.
Fine, it's 9:30 tomorrow. Yeah, just Shabbos comes in like ridiculously early, and it's the first one, so it takes a bit of time to get used to and just
get
ready, whatever.
But don't worry about it.
You can make quarter to 10?
Yes, I have a minyan that I go to. I can't choose my minyanim now. That's my problem.
Once again, can you make quarter to 10?
I have, yes.
Fine, so quarter to 10 tomorrow. Okay, the seder.
I get there at 9:35 also.
Fine, so we'll start 9:35. It works for everybody?
Yeah.
Gewaldig. Okay, the seder. Okay, 9:35, Bezrat Hashem. Okay.
Okay.
Take good care.